This morning, the Lord wants to reveal something to us about His heart. He wants to, in a brief message this morning, just to give us a glimpse into His heart of hearts. I want you to see something this morning, and I believe it is the Spirit of the Lord that wants to show us this aspect of His character today. Something perhaps that we have missed as we read the Palm Sunday story. Every time that we have a special remembrance in the church calendar, like Palm Sunday or Easter or Christmas and what have you, I always go back and reread all of the accounts of that event in the Scriptures to see if there isn't something there that the Lord would bring new and fresh, or if there's something there that He would bring as a reminder of that particular event. And today there's a very simple truth in this record in Luke's Gospel concerning the Palm Sunday event. The truth is so simple, but it is so powerful. And I want you to listen to it carefully this morning and watch the heart of the Savior of the world. Beginning to read in the 29th verse. And it came to pass when He was come nigh to Bethphage, Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, He sent two of His disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him, and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do you loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way, and found even as He had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, Why loose ye the colt? They said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they sat Jesus thereon. And as He went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when He was come nigh, even now, at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven, glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto Him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And He answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when He was come near, He beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Jesus is entering triumphantly into the city of God, the city of Jerusalem. He came on a colt for two reasons. First of all, it had been prophesied in the Old Covenant by the prophets that the Messiah would come on a colt, on a donkey, on a foal of an ass that had never been ridden. And that's why it's expressly recorded that this is a colt. This is an unbroken and unbridled animal, one that had never been ridden before, and it was white. And if you go back into the Old Testament, back into the books of Kings, you will find out that the way that they brought their kings into power in Israel was to do the very same thing. That they got a white colt, the foal of an ass that had never been ridden before. They cast on the foal their clothing. They sat the anointed one on the foal, and they brought him into the city amid the shouts and the cries of the people. The people, in showing their allegiance and their acknowledgement that this, in fact, was the king, would strew the way with their own clothing. And by so doing, they were saying, we accept this man as king over us. And so here is Jesus amidst the accolades of hundreds, probably thousands of people coming in through the gate to Jerusalem into the city of God amid the shouts and the praises of the people. The people were so overjoyed that their king had come. This is a people now that were in slavery to Rome, They thought they were getting a king that would with the sword set them free. They didn't realize that the kingdom of God that he was bringing in was a kingdom from within rather than from without. But in acknowledging him as king, there were multitudes shouting, rejoicing, praising God, saying, "Blessed be the king that cometh in the name of the Lord." In the midst of all of these shouts of praise and in the shouts of victory, there were Pharisees that day that said, "Master, you need to shut your disciples up. It's not right that they should be praising you like this." Jesus did not shut his disciples up, but rather he said to the Pharisees, "If these won't praise me, then even the stones will begin to cry out. What they are saying is true. I am the king. What they are saying is accurate. I am the one who's coming in the name of the Lord. What they are believing is truth. I am the long-awaited Christ and the long-awaited Messiah." Can you imagine the euphoria that would be in a man's heart on that kind of a day? How would it affect you if you'd lived all of your life and you'd had this objective in mind, and on a Palm Sunday, as we call it, it seems that all of humankind was now acknowledging you as king and was granting you your rightful place? Quite a euphoric high, wouldn't it be? It would be very difficult to keep things in perspective, wouldn't it? But I want you to notice something about the heart of our Savior. In the midst of the accolades of men, in the midst of the praises of thousands of people, in the midst of the shouts of king, in the midst of the cries of the people, "Blessed is this man because he's coming in the name of the Lord," here comes our champion, our hero, our Messiah, our Christ, the one who has come from God to set us free. In the midst of it all, Jesus looked at the city and cried. Real tears. Why? Because there were in that city that day, as there are in every city today, and perhaps in this very congregation, there were those who did not know that this was the day that they were being visited by God. And in the midst of all of the praise of men, the heart of Jesus was breaking because there were still some who were bound by the chains of the devil. There were still some who were bound by sin. There were still some who were going to die and go straight to hell. And it was not the praises of men that he wanted. It was the hearts of all mankind. This word visitation means literally a time of inspection for relief. Jesus was coming to give relief. But there were hundreds of thousands of people in Jerusalem that day, and perhaps there's some in this congregation too, who did not recognize that Jesus wants to set you free, that he wants to give you a brand new life. And in the midst of the praises of this congregation, right here in this room, while we are worshiping and praising God and applauding and shouting, could it be that the heart of Jesus is broken? And could it be that he's weeping today because there's somebody in this congregation who has not recognized that this is the day of the Lord's visitation? Could it be that while God's people are making a worship unto the Lord and loving the Lord that has bought and saved them, that he is weeping today because you have not yet received your salvation? Could it be that Jesus is crying today over you? Could it be that in the midst of a church like this, where there is so much liberty and freedom and praise, could Jesus be crying over you because you've fallen into sin? Could the heart of Jesus be broken in the midst of the praises of his people? Could he be weeping right now because you have not recognized that this is the day of your visitation? Could it be that Jesus was saying today about you, that if you had only known the things that belong to your peace, if you only understood what I really want to do for you, if you really had any comprehension of what I desire to do in your life? But he goes on to say that rejecting the visitation of the Lord. Means that there's a day coming when the enemy shall descend upon you like a flood. And he shall cast a trench about you and compass you around and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground, mow you down like a bush hog. You ever seen a bush hog go through a field? It leaves nothing standing. It leaves nothing standing. Jesus said that if you will not recognize the day of your visitation, if you do not recognize the day of your salvation, that the enemy shall come in like a flood, he will cast up a trench around about you, and when he has you isolated, he'll mow you down like a bush hog. There will not be anyone left in the midst. He's speaking here about a city. I believe he's talking about some individual people today. I'm struck by the fact that in the midst of the adoration of thousands of people, the first thing on the heart of our Savior was that there were some who were still lost. In the midst of one of the most magnificent days of all of his 33 years on earth, the day of his great triumph, that he cried that day. Why did he cry? Because there were some in Jerusalem who did not recognize that they had been visited by God. There were some that did not recognize that salvation had come. There were some that didn't recognize that their Savior had come to set them free, broke his heart. Would there be somebody in this congregation like that today? Is Jesus crying today because you have not recognized his visitation? Have you broken the Lord's heart today because you're not saved? Is Jesus weeping over you? Is he weeping over you because you don't care about the things of God? I want every head to be bowed and every eye to be closed. I believe there's somebody here this morning who is recognizing that today is the day of their visitation. And that on this day, they do not want the enemy to cast up a trench around about them. They don't want the enemy to compass them around and hem them in on any side and mow them down and your children with you. God protect the children. God, look after the children, Father, when you have wayward parents. God, protect them. Lord, watch over them. The Lord Jesus, forgive us for ever breaking your heart. Forgive us for rejecting your salvation. Forgive us, Lord, for not recognizing that you came to give us relief. Forgive us, Lord Jesus. Today, Lord, we would be among those who would be praising you and not among those that you would be weeping over. Today, we would give our lives to you in sweet surrender and in complete abandon, saying, I don't know what the future holds, but I know you and you hold the future. I don't even know why I'm in this church this morning. I didn't know why I came exactly, but I know now. I feel your heart breaking over me because of what I've been and what I've done, because I've stubbornly resisted you. And right now I would make that right. I'd change that. This very instant, I'd change it. I'd do it differently. If you're here this morning and that's the desire of your heart, you want to give your life to Jesus and you want to make your peace with him and you want to have his peace within you, won't you just express that with the uplifted hand? Won't you just take your right hand and raise it to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry that I made you cry. I'm sorry, Lord, that when you looked upon me, I caused you grief instead of joy. But today, Lord, I accept you as my Savior and Lord, and this day, I join the kingdom of God. I join the accolades. I join with those who confess Jesus Christ as Lord. There's someone in this congregation this morning. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Someone else in this congregation that wants to make peace with Jesus today. Do not consider the invitation of the Lord as a light thing. There will be a day when there will be no more invitations. Respond to the invitation when you hear it. When the Spirit of my Son quickens it in your heart, respond to my invitation. Consider not my invitation a light thing, saith the Lord. Let me just rephrase the Lord's invitation and say this to you. Perhaps you're here this morning and you know the Lord. You're saved. But things aren't right between you and Him and you want to make them right this morning. You've broken the Lord's heart in some way and you didn't realize it until today. And today you'd say, Lord, I'm sorry. Would you come and join this sister at the altar this morning? Would you just get up from where you are and come forward and say, Lord, I'm sorry for that?
Today, if you would hear my voice, harden not your heart. Today is the day of your salvation. Behold, those that be often reproved and hardeneth their necks shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. My spirit, saith the Lord of hosts, shall not always strive with the man. Today, if you would hear my voice, harden not your heart.
Yea, domandi che la fonce manca, yea, hoi da vento monce manca, yea, doi caramomba, se fui tanno, i pure tingaraha, i ce fui tanno, shimambaha, indongi re bamaha, i ce fui tanno, i ce fui di caramombaha, i ce fui tannaha, i ce mombaraha, e tonda carente, coramamba, shia, yea, ondingrati mon veranda, yea, tomishubataha, inton carai mombaraha, e ce bohovita mombaha, e ce mombaraha, Varanga yeru kuramamba jia, shoita ma varanko yete mumba, shondana.
And behold, saith the Lord, I do a new thing this day in the midst of thy people. And I say unto thee that I call thee not to be concerned for the opinions of men, but I call thee to be concerned for the opinions of thy God.
Yes.
And I say thou shalt look first unto me, and thou shalt look second unto the man on thy
yes.
right and on thy left. But I say thou shalt look first to the Lord thy God. And I say I have walked with thee, and I have called thee in my way, saith the Lord. I have spoken, and I have told thee. But I say unto thee, now shall I call thee to look up into my face. And I say, from this time forth I shall speak unto thee, and thou shalt look not for confirmation, saith the Lord, but only unto me. I say, I call you to be not concerned for the opinions of men, but I call you to be concerned for me. I say, if you'll go back and look at my word, saith the Lord, you'll see the men that were mightily used of me were listening first of all unto me and hearkening unto my word. I say, then they began to wonder what the other men would think. I say, watch when they walked around the walls of Jericho, saith the Lord. I say, they were spit on. I say, they were reproached, saith the Lord. But I say, they had heard from their God, and they cared not. I say, that's the vessels that I call to walk in the earth today. And I say, from this day forth, I call this place to walk in that way. I say, you must look unto me and listen unto me, saith the Lord, for I desire to pour out of my love unto you. And I say, it may not sound like love, saith the Lord, but it is. And it may not sound like care, saith the Lord, but it is. For I say, I have blessings, and I have a way for you to walk. But I say, it will come by lack of the opinions of men.
Bless you, Father.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
And furthermore, saith the Lord, I have called this place to raise up my seed and my children. And I say, this day have you seen my glory upon their tiny faces. And I would have you to know that herein lies my heart, saith the Lord. I say, I am a family man, and I have a father's heart. And I say, I have indeed desired to call thee, and I care for thee. And I not only care for thee, saith the Lord, but I care for thy seed. And I say, for this reason have I raised this place up, saith the Lord, a teaching and a training ground, that I might raise up godly seed, that I might raise up an army, saith the Lord. And I say, look to thyself. I say, look to thyself, saith the Lord, for thou art the examples of my seed. Thou art the examples of the children, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
And I say unto thee, saith the Lord, is this a small work? Is this a small place? I say, is this just a few in numbers that are dedicated here? Is this just a small school, saith the Lord, with few in number? I say, nay. I say, this is a large place and a large work. And I say, it only took my son, just one, to multiply, saith the Lord. I say, he spoke my word to 12, and they sent forth. And I say, this is not a small place nor a small work, but I say, it is a great work, saith the Lord. And I work with it, and I mold it as a great work, saith the Lord. I say, this 36 children shall multiply, saith the Lord. I say, these that you dedicated shall speak to others, if my son tarried, saith the Lord. I say, it is not a small work, neither it is an unimportant work, saith the Lord. I would have you to know that I am working. I am just as a potter. I am molding, and I am pouring water on this place, and I am molding and pressing with my hand, saith the Lord. For it is a wonderful thing I desire to do here. And I say, I don't desire to do it all by myself. I say, it is by my spirit, but it is in earthen vessels, saith the Lord. And I say, I pour my word forth from this place, and I say, let him go down deep into your vessel. I say, be recipient vessels of me. I say, be moldable vessels, be teachable vessels of me, saith the Lord. For I say, I long to do